2 Corinthians chapter number 4. That's one of those truths we talked about in Bible study that you don't like. I can't wait. This is the devil in me. I probably shouldn't say what I'm about to say. I cannot wait to see some of these individuals stand up there at the judgment seat of Christ and look at the Lord square in the eyes and say, yeah, but the Constitution says. I want to see you try that. I want to see you try it. I've told you before, and I've said it from here, and I'll say it again. This is not a church that's about your constitutional rights.
Amen.
I'm not going to preach on it, except to tell you that it don't fit here. The Bible's your constitution, and you go by what the Bible says, and if you got rights outside of that, then praise the Lord. Enjoy them while you can. When you come in here, you have a right to die and pay taxes. I guess I could say you have a right to suffer, too. We've been talking about this thing called grace, and this has come up, and I tread lightly here, but it has to be covered. We're talking about grace and all the things that have to do with grace, sustaining grace, and the grace is connected with your service and your abilities to do certain things and so on and so forth. And there is a grace now that we're going to talk about that has to do with your ability to be able to give things. And it's not just monetarily. For instance, it takes grace to give thanksgiving in times of difficult trouble. Would you agree with that?
Yes, sir.
It takes grace for the leper to come back and say, I sure am grateful for the leprosy that caused me to be able to meet you. It takes grace to say, Lord, thank you. I appreciate it. He says, in everything give thanks, doesn't he? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Well, you always been thankful for everything? I haven't. It takes grace to be able to be thankful for things you don't like. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll read this verse and then we'll get moving here. We've got just about 20 minutes or so and we'll let you get gone. Verse number 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Now, he just told you right there that there's an abundant grace that's there, and that grace is for you to be able to give thanksgiving to God. Brother TK, you pray.
Amen.
Amen. Now, there's a different spin on Romans 8:28. Look at verse 15. For all things are for your sakes. Do you see that? Why? That the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. In other words, all things are for your sakes. Why? So that you'll thank God for those things, so it winds up giving glory to God. That means that's a different spin on Romans 8:28. For we know all things work together for good to them, love God, that are called according to his purpose. All things, all trouble, all difficulty, yeah, but all blessings also. Maybe you're not like I am. Maybe you're real, real good about keeping short accounts with the Lord. I'd like to think that I'm real good when things are going well, that I'm as grateful as I am when he gets me out of bad. But I generally tend to take the good times for granted, and the bad times I don't thank him for until he gets me out of them. Then I thank him for being relieved of them and that kind of a thing. You know what he says? He said, all things are for your sakes. So whatever you're going through right now, the Lord said it's for your sake. I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this for your benefit. I'm helping you out. I don't know what you're going through right now. Sometimes it has to do with what you're going on with in your household, with your husband or with your wife. Sometimes it has to do with your employer. Sometimes it has to do with the job. Sometimes it's financial problems. Sometimes it's physical problems. A lot of times nowadays it's mental problems. And let me just say this about that. Some people have literally have problems mentally. And unless you earn the degree and be able to diagnose that, I'd be real careful about being diagnostic when it comes to why you think somebody's acting the way they're acting. Just pray for them and let it go. Maybe it's demons, maybe it's psychology or psychosis, or maybe it's who they happen to be living with, but you have no idea what's going on with them. I know this. I know I dealt with a lady not long ago, and she was, you know, a couple of fries short of a Happy Meal as far as I was concerned. And they asked me to talk with her, and I talked with her, and she was all over the map. I didn't know what in the world was going on. And I'm looking at this preacher, and I said, Brother, all I know to tell you is you should take her to a doctor. I can't make hiding her hair. And he said, well, you know, we didn't really want to take her to. I said, you should take her to a doctor, man. Something's not right with her. It ain't clicking. Well, yeah, no kidding, he said. They took her to the doctor. She was having blood sugar issues. And as soon as they popped her with some insulin and stuff like that, she came around just like that dehydrated old woman I told you about. Now, you make the wrong diagnosis and tell her, you know, well, I think this and I think that, and you should take this and you should take that. You can mess somebody up right quick like. But it all happens for your sakes. Whatever the Lord's put you through, God says it's for your sake. Let's go just a little bit further. Take your Bible and come to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. And we'll talk about some monetary things. Some monetary things. An individual said, you know, well, you're giving money to missions and stuff like that, and, you know, aren't you trying to get a building done? Hey, you got an opportunity right now, whether that ever gets up, you got an opportunity to get to a place where some souls are getting saved. I'll take souls over brick and mortar any day. You know, well, what if we give money for that? Why don't you? No, let's take care of what the Lord's given us to do right now, and then watch Him take care of stuff later on. Haven't you seen that happen? Haven't you seen you be faithful to what God wants you to be faithful to, and then the Lord be faithful to you? Hasn't God blessed this church more than you could even possibly imagine? You can't explain it with an explaining machine. All I know is if God gives us an opportunity, let's get on it now. You say, why? That way if we hit the judgment seat of Christ tomorrow, we're good. He can leave the Antichrist with a building and stuff, but he can't take a soul.
That's right.
You see some souls get saved. You can't be getting invested in souls. Fine. Well, what happens? You got a chance to keep a church building open over there? Yeah. You say, why? We sowed enough seed over there. They need a place to go for the crop to come in.
Amen.
I mean, those people put out tons and tons and tons of money, and we put out tons and tons and tons of tracts. They need a place to be able to come to. That's an opportunity that you don't always get. And so you got an opportunity. You say, what do you do? Dump it, man. Dump it. I don't want to get caught holding the bag on that. Let them have it. What if they misuse it? What if they misappropriate it and all that? You must think they're like you, I guess. That must be what it is. You think they're as crooked as you are. Some of you are so crooked you have to screw your socks on when you die. Fall through a barrel of fish hooks, you wouldn't even get stuck. You come right out the bottom side of the thing. Now, listen, everybody's not like that. But once you give something to God, that's between them and God.
Amen.
Let God take care of it. He's a great accountant. I wouldn't want to touch it. I wouldn't want to. That's why Judas comes in and goes, man, this is some hot money, man. I don't want nothing to do with this, and slings it out there. Even the priest didn't want it back. You say, why? Somebody got the conscience. Now, when it comes to this thing about giving, God's going to show you here in just a minute. It's a grace God will give you. But when I talk about this subject, I'm not looking to get a raise, and I'm not trying to browbeat you and tell you that God's going to blow up your water heater or flatten your tires if you don't give. If you don't give, God has other ways of getting stuff taken care of. Do you hear me? God doesn't need you. The thing in Hebrews teaches that when you give, it shows that God's alive. If you want to spend it on yourself, help yourself. Enjoy it. It don't make no difference to me at all. God moves on your heart to give and to do something. Don't miss the opportunity to get in on something God's doing. There's nothing like it. So you talking about sacrificial giving? Yeah, sometimes that's the best thing to do. Dump it all, man. There's nothing like it. You can't outgive Him. But don't just do it because you're trying to get it. Any of you ever pray the Solomon prayer? Any of you ever pray that? You know the Solomon prayer. You ask for wisdom so He'll give you the riches. Well, if you could ask God for anything, what would you ask for? Oh, I'd ask for wisdom. Because that's what Solomon asked for, and he was the richest man in all the Bible. Tough crowd. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Look, if you will, please, in verse number, pick it up in 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now, there's a semicolon there, so he's going to tell you what this grace was. How that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power, they were willing, watch it, of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Now, what's he talking about? Verse 6, inasmuch as we desired Titus, that when he had begun, that he would also finish in you the same grace also. What is he talking about? The grace there has to do with the individuals that are here at Macedonia, and he's saying that in their poverty, they're still given financially to the Apostle Paul. There's nothing that will sting you more than something like that, when somebody doesn't have anything at all. First time I went to Romania years ago, and if I've told you the story before, then please forgive me. Maybe I'm getting half-timers or something. We went to over there, and they didn't have anything. I mean, they were poor as church mice. They didn't have anything. They come directly out of the fields and come to the meeting sometimes and have one light hanging from a string like that in a meeting, and you'd get done preaching and that kind of a thing, and they'd say, come, we'll feed you. And however you say it in Romanian lingua, I have to excuse myself from speaking in that dialect. But at any rate, that's a joke between the marauders. And so you'd sit down there, and they're all standing around the table, and they bring you a piece of meat about half the size of a hamburger patty that's about as thick as a slice of ham, and they bring you an egg and a little bit of cabbage or whatever, and they say, we got for you the cow. We know you cannot eat the pig. And you're looking at that, and then you realize they've spent everything they have to be able to find one little tiny piece of meat to feed you that, and in their poverty, they try to minister to your needs. And I was told and I was warned, if they offer you something like that, don't you dare refuse it. You will break their heart. And so they put that stuff on the plate, and what do? You gobble it up. You know what they do? They sit there and look at it. You like? What are you going to do with that? That's what they did at Macedonia. Paul said, man, these people just burnt my heart out. God gave them grace to endure the sufferings and the tribulation, the trials, the poverty they had, and then they took of what they had and gave it to us when they needed it themselves. That's God's grace. That's a vision of eternity. That's a gift that'll keep on giving. You'll never forget that. They set up there in the morning over there, and they come out and they bring you a bowl of peppermint soup, and they bring you bread. They did have good bread there. And then they went out and bought a little jar of Nutella. That's a delicacy over there where we were at, Nutella. And they put a knife in there, and they put it in a little dish to make it look like they were making something special. And they wouldn't touch the Nutella. That was for the American preachers. And they didn't have anything. You say, what difference does it make? Oh, I don't know, a few souls saved. A Bible school started at the time, an opportunity to teach for a couple of weeks and have a few things come out of it. I don't know. We get to the judgment seat of Christ, there'll be one or two people that'll be in eternity because of it. Amen. You say, well, preacher, it doesn't add to the church. Well, it depends on what church you're trying to add to. It certainly adds to his church. Come just a little bit further, look at verses number 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything in faith and utterance and knowledge in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. What is the grace he's talking about? In the context, it's the grace of giving. Now let me clarify, it's not just monetary. You can't just scope it down to monetary. Everybody can't give monetarily. I don't believe in trying to force people on a fixed income doing the best they can to pay their bills and to keep their nose above water. I don't believe in trying to force them to give monetarily. But can you give of your time in prayer?
Amen.
Can you give of your sweet spirit?
Amen.
Can you give an encouragement? Can you pick up the phone every now and then and say, hey, preacher, I just want to tell you, the Lord spoke to me this morning and... You say, that don't make no difference. Oh, that spends more than dollar bill spends.
Amen.
You see, this pressure is not always dollars. If you got them, good. But it's good you got them and they ain't got you.
Right.
God gives you a chance, like did this folks, and say, hey, we want to get this over there and get this to the people so the work can continue. That's a holistic view of things. No credit, you won't even know who it is to the judgment seat of Christ. You say, why? They didn't do it for that reason. They didn't do it. Let's have a big fanfare. They want to see the work go on. Can you give of your back? Can you give of your hands? Can you pick up some trash? Can you do the little things? Can you be the master of small things? Or you'd always have to be the limelight? Can you just learn to be faithful and just learn to be cheerful and just amen every now and then? Or oh me, at least we know you're listening. Can you just do the little things? Not always big things. It's a grace. When you don't have that, it's an indicator that the grace tank needs some filling up. You need grace. You need God, give me the grace, because I don't want to give. I don't like people. Now look, verse 8, to show you that I'm giving you the right context. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. The old adage is that you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. And that means if you want some marital advice, if you're really in love, you'll give of yourself. Every now and then, you'll give up what you want to do for what she wants to do, or vice versa. Every now and then, you have to eat some of the things that she wants to eat, even if you don't. You can't always eat barbecue every day. And you get ready to take her out for a special day. You got to take her somewhere other than Burger King, McDonald's, and that kind of a deal. Take her to a nice place. Come on, ladies, can't you amen that? One lady says, I don't like nice places. And I said, okay, well, keep your mouth shut. Most people do. He don't have to take me nowhere. I said, well, praise the Lord. I'm sure he appreciates that. He's back there in the back going. If you don't like nice places, that's okay. But, you know, you want to buy all your clothes at Walmart? Okay. But every now and then, take her to a decent dress shop, boys. You're bragging on her because you got everything at the thrift store? I have some of the men going to run me out of town on a rail by the time I'm done tonight. Like, man, preacher, getting in my wallet. Notice what happens. Verse number 9. For you know the grace of your Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about in context, see that you have this grace also. What did the Lord Jesus Christ do? That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. You can't miss it. You can't miss it. You know what Christianity, what you should be able to put in there as a synonym, not an acronym, but a synonym, you know, or an anonym. You know what you should be able to put in there? You should be able to put Christianity equals a giver. You impart life eternally when you lead somebody to Jesus Christ. You're giving them a gift. You're giving them access to a gift. You're not saving them. He's doing it. But you're presenting the gift. You're giving it to them free. I told that Russian soldier over there, he said, all religion takes from people. And when I was given orders, I had to do whether I liked it or not. I had to do what I was told to do. And that's what religion does. And it does this and that and the other. I said, sir, with all due respect, through the interpreter, could I introduce you to the greatest captain of my salvation that never took anything from me and gave me everything? And you could see him thinking about that one. I said, he's the greatest warrior that ever lived. I got a Bible tell you all about his feats in the Bible, but he never asked me for anything except for my dirty, rotten sins. I said, he gave me everything. He said, well, I've never met a religion like that. I said, you won't meet this guy in a religion. I said, you have to have a relationship with him. He's a man.
Yes, sir.
You say, did you lead him to the Lord? No. He just stood there and looked at me and like, okay, whatever, nice talking to you. I'm getting ready to shake his hand, took my glove off there and shook his paw, and what are you going to do with that? I don't know. Maybe one day you'll be laying it there in his bunk or laying in the middle of the night and think, in Russian, speak up there to the Lord and say, well, I think I might like to meet you. And the Lord will speak back to him in Russian and say, well, fine, nice to meet you. Yeah, well, what do you want from me? I'll take your sins from you. Yeah, but what else do you want? Ah, that's it. I'll take that. I'll give you eternal life. Can't be that simple. Yeah, it's so simple I can get it.
Yes, sir.
All right, come on down here now just a little bit further. Look, if you will, please, in the same passage there and jump down to about 17, 18, 19, there it is, 18. And we sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all churches. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, the gift that was given to them. They're going to impart it to other people and dispense it to other people, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and a declaration of your ready mind. What's he doing? They were given it, and then what do? They go give it out. Come, if you will, please, over to chapter number 9. Chapter number 9, same passage. Our same chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Let's see, verse number 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. Pretty plain, isn't it? So people say, well, I don't go to church because I always ask them about money. Keep it. Keep it. You say, why? God loves a cheerful giver. You ain't got no gun to your head. Like the fellow that told me, he said, you know, I'm going to this particular church and they want me to turn in my, what do they call that at the end of the year, W-9? What is that? W-2. They want me to turn in my W-2, a record of my salary, my income through the year, and then they send me a bill, tells me what my tithe is. A church. They set their budget by everybody's W-2. I said, oh, come on, man, this is ridiculous. It sounds like you're in communist Russia or something like that. He said, no, and he named the church. It's here in Jacksonville. And I said, and you're a member of that? He said, well, it's in the Bible. I said, that ain't in the Bible. I can't believe a man will let it. Anyway, all right, watch. God is able to make all grace, verse 8, see it? All grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Come on down a little further there, look in verse number 14. Trying to hurry. Well, make it 13. Here's the only place you find experiment in the Bible. Whiles by the experiment of the ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. Now, he's talking about distributing what's been given to them. And he calls it an experiment. Well, what are you doing? You're checking things out. God gives to you, you give to others. The old preacher used to say, God will always give more through you than he'll ever give to you. That man was like a stinking pipe. He wasn't like a funnel. That man was like a 4-inch pipe, and it ran all the time. You had to be careful. When we give him his offering here, I'd have to give part of it to Pam. He'd take part of it and stuff it down in his boot, and before long, we'd come to the end of that prison junket, and I'd say, preacher, where's all that money we gave you? He'd say, well, I gave a little so-and-so, a little so-and-so, a little so-and-so, a little. They thought when he died, he had piles and piles and piles and piles of money laid up somewhere. That man let money run through his hand like water. He'd get a big boatload of money and stuff like that. He'd say, well, dump all that on the missionaries. He'd give it to missionaries. He'd give it to prisons. He didn't have nothing. You're thinking, well, that's ridiculous. I mean, you know, his house was paid for and the car was paid for and that kind. But he'd been in the ministry 60 years. Well, what do you expect? Sooner or later, you got to pay something off. Some people are like, well, he had all that property. We've been doing it for 60 years, man. Come on, give the guy a break. He's got 5 acres of land, you know, and all that. He's smoking crack. People wear me out. And I watched him for years. I watched him for years. That money just go. That money just go. That money just go. He's handing that money out all the time. He gave Brother Lentz and I some money to go to the Philippines. Paid for the whole trip. Y'all need to go. You need to get over there. You need to do so and so and so and so. I said, preacher, we ain't got the money to get over there. He said, yes, you do. I said, no, sir, no offense. We don't. He goes, you do have it too. And he handed us some money. He prayed one time and he said, okay, folks, y'all want me to go to India. I'll go to India, but I'm telling you now, I'm too old. I can't travel back in the cattle car anymore. I got to be able to go first class. It's way too expensive. God don't want me to go over there, that kind of thing. I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed, but I can't handle it anymore. I just can't do it. And somebody said, what'll it cost, preacher? He said, it's going to be 10 grand to get me and Pam over there. Bam! That shut the whole thing down just like that. He goes back there in his office. There's a paper sack and $10,000 in cash sitting there. You said, what did he do? He told Pam, go buy some tickets. We're going to India. He went over to India and he taught those people over there, sometime 200 and 300 of them at a clip with a bowl of rice, all they had, and a rubber mat, and I mean a grass mat, and they would sit there and he would teach all day long over there. You say, why? Getting something done. Go on those streets over there and pass out tracts and say, America, 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 and give them a ruble or two, a rupee, I think it's called, a rupee, a ruble's in Germany or Russia, ruble, is it? Whatever, Indian money, and he would give that money to them. And these people over there, he said they would come up in the morning in a dump truck with a front end loader and load dead bodies in the back end of the dump truck and haul them off. So many people were dead over there, and he'd get there together, and all these people there waiting to have him teach. I don't know who put the money on him, but boy, don't you know they got something laid up for him up in glory now. All them Indian pastors that are over there, and he got all that stuff out there. Well, they didn't go to Bible school. No, he took it to them. Yeah. He took it to them. What is that? That's a man that's got a vision for the entire thing, not just the one place. I've seen him time and time and time again, man, have him a wad of money to choke a horse, and the next thing you know, there's a preacher calls me up and he's crying, and I say, "What's the matter, brother?" He said, "I don't know where this money came from, but I got enough money to get me through for the next 2 months." And I couldn't say, I know exactly where it came from. And my friend, Brother Lentz, went down there after he was at Midwestern Bible School, and he left and he went down. I apologize, I'm looking down, I'm thinking while I'm talking. I don't mean to be rude, but I'm thinking. And he went down after he got out of Midwestern. They got into an issue over the Bible thing. He had gotten out of Vietnam and gotten kind of tangled up at the Ford Motor Company there. His dad worked there as an executive. And then he goes to Midwestern. It didn't work out, so he's going to go down to Pensacola, to PBI there. And he was in school, and after the first year, he was in construction, and he was up on a scaffolding, and he fell, and he busted his pelvis. Some of you don't know that, and the lower portion of his back, coccyx bone and all that. And he's over there in the hospital and stuff like that, and he's got no insurance and no way to pay the bill. And he gets ready to walk out of the hospital, and he's trying to work out financial arrangements, and they say, "Mr. Lentz, your bill's been paid in full." The bill was over $10,000. That's way back in the day. And he said, "What do you mean it's been paid? I don't have that kind of money. I'm doing all I can to live in a trailer and eating peanut butter sandwiches." He said, "I can't tell you, but your bill's paid. You don't owe anything. And a receipt paid in full." He goes to the school to pay Miss Meacham down there, or Miss Mitchell, I guess it was, for the school bill. And his school bill was paid for the next year. He didn't know until years later who paid that bill. You say, who paid that bill? That old man. You say, what is that? That's a grace. For people that said that old man don't have no grace.
Yeah. Yeah, amen.
I got ready to leave to go full-time over here and just going through the wreck of the Hespers and worrying and selling everything we had and giving up everything we had. And it was good. I mean, hey, good for me, man. It was a good investment for a while. We got a little bit out of it and sold all that other kind of stuff. And the next thing you know, I get a check in the mail. And I get a check in the mail every month for a year. You say, where from? From over there. You say, why? It didn't just come from the church. It came from him through the church to me to say, hey, help him out a little bit. You say, it ain't no big deal. It is when you're eating tuna fish and peanut butter. You know what mattered more? It mattered more to know that old man's in my corner. You want to know why I care about him? Because of the grace he showed me. Can you say you've shown that grace to somebody else? That's a hard grace to accept. We'll get to that on Sunday. It's one thing, it's a grace to give, but it's another grace to receive.
Yes.
Paul had to have the grace to receive the gift given to him by Macedonians. The Macedonians didn't have anything. And they said, here, Paul, take what we got. Paul said, man, you just gave me enough to support you for a couple months here. They said, yeah, better to give it to you. We might die tomorrow. Then what? 8 o'clock. Bear with me just one more minute here. Now notice he says experience and experiment in verse number 13. I'm almost done. Verse number 14. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable what? He's talking about Jesus Christ. And he's showing the thanksgivings that are made there. He's showing the increased fruits of their righteousness in verse 10. And then the administration of the things that they've been supplied. Now they're supplying to other people. That's what you do when you give money to missions and things like that. Your professed subjection unto the gospel. The liberal distribution in verse number 13. And then he said, along with their prayers for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace in you. We got a letter today. I don't know how it bounced around or whatever, but you got a letter from Brother Hamilton because of what we are trying to do for him over there. And their prayers over there, our Moldovan family, they long after us. You say, why? Because we helped them in the situation they're in. It means something to them. They see the effort made on the part of you folks to try to help to take care of them. I'll go as far as to say they appreciate the fact that you sent somebody over there. You don't think that was ordained of God? How would you know about the church thing situation in Belts if we hadn't have been there? I can give you 10 people across the front of this platform right here that can testify straight up to the needs that are over there. In the orphanages, in the churches, and all. I mean, they know it. They have boots on the ground. They've been there. They can tell you it ain't no put on, it ain't no sham. They can tell you about the bumpy roads and the freezing cold temperatures and the wet shoes and all the junk going on over there. But they can tell you how those people who don't have anything are trying their best to do something for you by doing nothing but maybe making you a meal. And how they can't really do anything, but man, can they sure sing for you. Lift up their voices, boy, like a trumpet, and cry aloud and spare not and sing, man. You say, what is that? So what do? You turn around and you're giving them something monetary and they long after you because you helped them. I think it was Sophie Lou that was up here telling you that, you know, she was kind of perplexing when she was or pondering, musing, I guess would be the word. She was up here and she was thinking and she said something along these lines. She said, I kind of thought about the fact that when we passed out an apple, how their faces just lit up. And then she said, she kind of leaned up here. She said, like she's thinking while she's talking, over an apple. And I was thinking, if you were to pass out apples at our school, people would be like, what's that for?
Yeah, that's right.
I remember Joaquin saying to me that when Brother Sam and Sarah and Sophie had taken soccer balls. It's going to be a while before this washes off, folks, so you just have to get accustomed to it. Woodard took some Frisbees and stuff, and Joaquin is over there, and I said, you know, remember, he showed me the bed that he lived in for a long time while he was there, and he was real grateful. He's a real good guy. He's 26 or 27. He's the guy that Brother Josh is talking about that he spent time talking to and ministering to and telling jokes with and that kind of a thing. It was a good deal, but he said, oh, watch this, preacher. He said, for us, he said, you know, people bring us candy, and we'll get a bag of candy every now and then. And he said, getting fruit is a big deal, but he said, if somebody ever brought us something like sports equipment, he said, that was as good as it could possibly get because we had something to play with. And so, sure enough, Brother Weldon took out that ball, and you saw him go. And he bounced that ball a couple of times like that, and then he explained about throwing the Frisbee. And man, those kids look like you handed them a bar of gold. You say, what is that? That's your grace as a church being ministered to them through your people out of this place, going over there, and your giving of the folks here and the things that you've taught them and given to them to give over there. People gave certain people money and things like that. You say, what happened to it? I think everybody came back with empty pockets. Changes your perspective of everything. It's a grace. It's a grace. Don't be ashamed if you got it. But if God gives you a chance to do something with it, hey man, that's God telling you that that's going to be a winner. If God tells you that, I guarantee you that horse will come in. And she'll pay off, boy, at the judgment seat. You hear me? I mean she'll pay off, boy. All right, I hope that helps you.
Amen.
You'll probably get a little more of it on Sunday. You say, why? Because that's what we're about. The Thessalonians, you know what Paul says? You can stand together. We'll be dismissed. Thank you for your courtesy. The Apostle Paul says, they gave of themselves first in Thessalonica. Of themselves. Can I ask you this question as we get ready to close? Have you asked God ever to give you the grace to give of yourself? I mean, I'm not talking about to give of yourself to do what you want to do, but to give of yourself to do what you don't want to do. It don't take grace to do what you want to do. It takes grace to do what you don't want to do. But therein lies the growth. Have you ever asked God for that grace? Not, Lord, make me willing to be willing. Lord, give me the grace to be what I need to be because I sure don't like it. Lord, I want to give of my whole self. Everything I got. Forget the material things. What about you? He's not interested in your stuff. He's interested in you. Can you believe that? He's interested in me. He's not interested in me because of talent and ability. He just likes to see somebody that loves him so much, he'll be willing to do whatever he wants him to do. You ever done that? Lord, take my life and let it be wholly consecrated. Right? Yeah, but Lord, if it does, it's going to get in the way of my sports and my reputation and my job and my career and my plans and never mind, just keep it. Thank God for His unspeakable gift. Jesus Christ, who was rich, became poor so you could become rich. How did He do it? By sending you a bag of gold? No, by sending Himself. The way you're rich and enjoy the riches of Jesus Christ is to be in Christ. It don't get no better than that. You talk about putting a spring in your step and a song in your heart. Boy, that'll do it. That'll do it.